Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf. Baba Metzia Ayin Zayin. We are holding two lines off the top, three lines off the top of the Amad V'Amar Rava. Here comes another halacha in the name of Rava. Haiman, this fellow who went ahead and hired workers, Da'igir Aguri, what for? L'davlo, to draw water and to water his field. Or his fields, as Rashi says. L'hashkris Sodois. V'asa Mitra, suddenly rain shows up. And job's over. Everything's watered. What now? Do they just walk away empty-handed? Or must he pay the full salary? So what is the halacha? Pseida to pay alam. It's their loss. Look, he hired them for a reason. There's no need. So show's over, right? Job's done. And you can't really pin the blame on him more than on them. Because rain is a natural phenomenon, which he did not anticipate. He did not have any forewarning more than they do, right? So they just walk away, and he has no need to pay them for the rest of the unfinished work. But also Nahara, what if the river, the tide rose and it spilled over into the irrigation channels, watering all the fields, no need for them to manually water the fields. Whose loss is that? Meaning, do they just have to absorb the loss, walk away without pay, or does he have to compensate them for the unfinished job? Say to develop bias, he has to absorb the loss. He has to pay them, not full salary, basic rate, like we discussed the other day. Pay bottle means how much a person would be willing to take as pay, like a minimum wage, to forego like heavy work and just sit around and do nothing, or something very light work. So how much of a salary cut would he be willing to take? So basic minimum wage, that's what he gives them. So he gives them something, and the reason here is because he, and only he, as opposed to them, he knew what was going on. He knew that the river could show up one day and do the job for them. He should have forewarned them. He should have stipulated. He should have, given them the choice. Look, this may happen. Are you willing to go ahead with it regardless? Are you willing to take the risk? Leave it up to them. He didn't inform. He misinformed them. He held back that information. He has to reimburse them. Ve'amar Rava. Here comes another halacha from Rava. Hi, Manda Igir Aguri Ladavlo. His fellow hired workers to manually water his fields. Upasak Nahara. They're drawing from the river, and suddenly there's no river. It dries up. Upalda Diyama midday. No river, no water, no work. What happens now? So it depends. Eloy Avid the Pasak. If it's not common for this to happen, then you can't put blame on the employer for not warning them in advance, and therefore Pseidus Payalam, it's their loss. He doesn't pay them for the rest of the unfinished work. Ovid the Pasuk, but if it commonly happens that there's no water, then again it depends. Ibn Masa, if these workers are local residents who are aware of the local phenomena, then Pseidus Payalam, they absorb the loss. Labni Masa, but if they're foreigners, Pseidus the Balabais, then he must take the hit, the owner, because you should have told him about this possibility. V'amar Rava, a third halacha, in the name of Rava. Haiman da agar agur lavit, a fellow hired workers to do a specific job today. V'shlim avit pagad the yayma, 12 o'clock they're done. No more of that work to do. What happens now? He hired them for the day. Can he give them other work to do? Well, it depends. Depends how difficult that other work is. E islay avita denichamine. If his other job is lighter, is easier than this one, you can give it to them. Inami or the kavasa of equal severity, mafkudlu, we can give them that job. The kashim, but if it's more difficult, le mafkudlu, we can't. Send them to the other job. Venoislem schar mishom, has to pay them in full, as if they're working. Why in full? Minimum wage. Amai. Why does he have to pay them in full with a lace of Luke Kapil bottle? Let him just be required to give them, you know, the minimum. Answers the Gemara, you're right, typically that's the case, but here it's an exception because they're not interested in taking a pay cut for less difficult work. They like to work. These are the driven people of Mechayza, right? The shrewd business people over here. Actually, we're speaking about, you know, laborers. They like working. These schleppers, these fellows who are accustomed to heavy lugging and working. If they sit down and do nothing, they get weakened. They like working. They're active people. They're energetic people. They like work. They don't want to take a pay cut for doing nothing. They have no interest in that. So therefore, you hire them for the day, have no work, keep on paying. Okay, now let's go back and reanalyze that. So let's take it line by line. That, you know, that price that we had the other day, yesterday's daf, about the fellows who came to work and they quit midway. Okay, so they were hired for a job worth 2 sela. Okay, they contracted to do the job for 2 sela and they quit midway after doing 50%. Omar, so we learned in the Bryce, Shamalem is Masha Asu. We take a look at what they did. And based on that, they get paid. Kesa, for instance. Hans Hayo Yafa Shisha Dinarim. So even if the remainder of the job would cost the Balabais 6 dinar to complete. So let's say it was 2 sela for the entire thing. A sela is 4 dinar, right? So 2 sela, 8 dinar for the entire job. They did half. But now they quit. And you know how it is to get a new person to finish the job will cost you more than half of the original rate. Right? Right? So you're going to end up paying 6 dinar to finish the job. So you're going to be absorbing a loss of 2 dinar. If you pay the first workers their full allotment of 4 dinar for 50% of the job. So the halacha is nois lehem sela. The rabbanon say still, they deserve a sela as per the portion of the work that they did, despite the fact that the owner is going to be taking a hit. He's going to have to pay 6 dinar to finish the job. Why? Because Savi Rabban hold, this is different than the Rabbi Daisa and our Mishnah, beginning of Harsay, who say that the worker is going to be taking a loss. No. Yad Poyel Al Yoina, the worker, has the advantage, as we're going to see later, because Hashem says, Bnei Yisrael are my servants. They're not your, they're not slaves. I mean, you hired him, very nice, but he can walk away midday and quit the job. And that's exactly what they did. They stopped midway, so they deserve payment for the part that they did, despite the fact that it's going to cost the owner more, relatively more, to finish the job. Or yigmur malachten, that's one option. Or if they finish the whole job, what do they get? Vitu shnei slaim, they get the full, 2 sela payment. Pshita, obviously, I mean, what's the chiddush? Litzricha must be speaking, the price is covering the following case. The yakar avita, why do they quit? Salaries rose. The price went up. Initially, they were hired for 2 sela for the job. Midway, they decide, hey, look, let's go elsewhere and get more. The Imru Payal and the Payal, the workers, separated. Imru is Hafrasha. They quit. They walked off the job. The owner comes running after them. And Rashi says, Hirba Tachnunim. He begged them, convinced them to come back. Right? Don't worry, I'll take, right? Mauda Tema. So now they haven't really stipulated anything. They came back to work after being, talked back into it. So perhaps they can say, look, you know why we came back? We're sure that you're gonna give us a bonus. Matsu Amrele, perhaps they can claim, they can tell him, Kimafai Sinan, reason why we acquiesced, Adata the Tafas Lana Igra. Because we figured you'll increase to the salary. Kamash, one of the point is no. Darmal, you can tell him, look, I know I was going to take care of you. I let you believe that I'm going to look after you, but not monetarily, directly monetarily. I'm going to give you extra food, a nicer lunch, Coke instead of RC. Darmal, he says, I'll give you better quality food and drink, that's all. But in terms of hard money, of course, as per contract only. Okay, sela. Noisnam sela. Now let's say they work and they didn't have the job, for which they deserve a sela, right? One out of two sela. And the rest of the work only costs the owner a sela to finish. So they get their sela. Pshita, well, obviously, why not? I mean, there's no issue here. Nobody's taking any losses. So the tzricha must be speaking like this. The price is covering a case where the zol avitam ikar, initially when he hired them, it was really less. The going rate, going salary was less than two sela for the job. But he added, v'agrinu b'tvei zuz, he added a zuz and brought it up to the, you know, the amount of the two sela for the job. U'l'soyif i'akar avitam. Become a tefesusa. But eventually, once they got, you know, into the job, the overall market rate also went up, azuz, and matches the amount that they committed to, right? So everyone's okay now. But Mao Detema, perhaps they can say, look, Amrle, they can tell him, tefesusa Amrslan, remember, you promised us a bonus, you went above the going rate, Fezuza Havlon, now as well, even though the going rate overall has risen, but you promised us a bonus. Give us extra zuz above and beyond. Kamash Malachdish says, no. The Amr Lohi can tell him, look, I was willing to pay two sela for the job. I saw you, you know, you weren't willing to commit to less than two sela, even though the going rate was less. So I said, okay, you know, I'll give you two sela, but not past that, right? I mean, this is what you really want. You want two sela, and this is the going rate. Very great. So we're all on the same page. The Amr Lohi can tell him, when I added the extra zuz, you didn't know that the going rate was two sela. I mean, it wasn't two sela. It was less than two sela. And you insisted on getting it. It was fine. I added the two sela. But that was my cap. Now you know everybody's taking two sela. This is the going rate. I'm not interested in paying more than that. So this is Rabbanon, right? Based on the idea that the pile is in the driver's seat. You're not a slave, you're just a laborer, you're just hired, and you can walk away midway, you can quit without penalty. Rab Deis, however, takes a different approach. Rab Deis Omer, Shaman Lanas Mashasa Liyasis. Before you give them a penny, you estimate, you prorate, what is it going to cost me to finish the job? If it takes me 6 dinar to find another fellow to finish, I deduct from their salary Nislam Shekel. Instead of giving them a sela for doing half the job, I take half of that away. I take 2 dinar of the 4 dinar in the sela, and I shift that over to the next fellow who's going to finish the job. Why? Because he holds Yad Poel al Tachtoina. The Poel just walks off the job. Sure, he has a right to do that. Torah said so, but at a cost. You can't cause me a loss. Fact is, it's going to cost me more now. I have a right to deduct that from your salary. Alternatively, you can finish the job and get fully paid. Two sela. Why does the price have to mention that? Isn't that obvious? Finish, you're paid. The tzricha must be speaking. So basically, it's going to be the opposite of the previous Gemara. Same, you know, factors, but just in the reverse. The tzricha de zol avit must be speaking that the going rate dropped now. Right? They finished half the job. At that point, the going salary dropped. Now, Bias decided to walk off the job. Fired. You're fired. I want to get cheaper laborers. And the workers came running after me, convinced them to keep it going. Now, the tamer, perhaps he can say, Motzi, Amrli, can turn to them, Adata, and tell them, Adata, Basrisli, Magrai. Magraicho. You know what I had in mind? I was sure that you're going to forego some of your salary. So even if you finish the complete the full project, I'll deduct something. Kamash one, the point is no. The Amr, they could tell him, look, you're right, you deserve something extra because you allowed yourself to. But Adata Davdin Lacha, you know what you're gonna gain? Keep the salary at the same rate, but you're gonna get better, more quality. Adata Davidun Lach Avitushafirta. We had a mind to add more detail. To be more meticulous. To give you a better finished product. But in terms of salary, we've got to keep it as per our commitment. Sell an Islam seller. Now, if they quit midway, so, well, it only takes a seller to finish the job, so nobody's losing. So the employer gives them a sell-off for half the work that they did. Well, pshita, obviously, why not? I mean, if he's not going to lose, why shouldn't he give them what they deserve? Must be speaking that zilu inyo gabe izuzami kar. What happened was initially when they were hired, they saw that he wasn't really willing, so they dropped. They took a salary cut. They went a zuz below the going rate of two seller. Zolavita. And then the so they dropped, right? But then eventually when as they're doing this job, the going rate overall, the entire marketplace dropped. Right? So initially they dropped a zuz per sella, and that became the going rate. Just like the Gemara earlier, right? They added a zuz per sella, right? Here they dropped. And then everybody in the area took a pay cut. Maudatema, perhaps he can tell them, look, I want a deduction. So if the going rate today is sella minus a zuz, I want a zuz below that. Because after all, you are willing to work for less than the going rate, right? Maudatema, but a zuz, I'm recently you contracted for a zuz less than the going rate, but zuz avin l'chol, give you a zuz less than the going rate. Kamash wants the point is no. Darma they can tell him. Ki amar nelach v'batz zuz. True. Initially we dropped a zuz because b'liav a kimlo, because you did not accept that as the it wasn't acceptable to you. You didn't want it. You didn't have the rotsin. You don't know that was the fair rate. Meaning, you don't want to go with a full seller, right? So we dropped a zuz. But this rate now is the rate that you accepted, that you committed to. Right? In your mind, you had a picture in your mind. I'm going to hire them for a seller minus it. That's what you got. So bottom line, if a worker quits midway, Rabbanan say, Poyel wins, he takes no deductions. Rabbi Deisa says, no, you have a right to walk away, but you're responsible for any repercussions, any damage resulting from your walk-off. Amar Rav, halach Rabbi Deisa. That's how we paskin, as per our Mishnah, right? So if he causes me any losses, it costs me more, relatively more, to finish the job, I deduct that from his portion. Really? Rav holds like that? Umi Amar Rav, hachi Rav. Is of the opinion that the Poyel loses? Amar Rav, Rav himself says, Poyel yachol achsabay hafilu v'chatzi hayoyim. Poyel can back out even midday. V'chitema, perhaps you can say, it depends what he was commissioned for. Shani leila Rav, v'doysa, bin schirus l'kablonis. Oh, perhaps you can say that Abdoysa's idea only applies to a sachar, a laborer. Right, paying by the hour, by the day, whatever. There, as Rashi explains, this tam applies. You can't force him to stay on because then he's like your slave. So there, Abdesa says he has full right to leave without penalty. But when it comes to a kabbalan who contracted to do a specific project, there, listen to the Lashon Rashi on the bottom line. Rashi says, "Gaval the kabbalan is ain't the evidel la'atzmi. Kabbalan is not your slave. He's working for himself. He's like self-employed." He undertook to do a project on your to build a building, to dye a piece of material. He's working for himself. He's self-employed. So until he finishes the he's committed to finish this project for me. Until he does that, he's responsible for any repercussions. So perhaps you can make that distinction. But you're a sucker. He can walk away without penalty. But not kablanus. As per our Mishnah, which is a kablan, really? Umishanle, is that true that this distinction holds true? That according to Rabbi Deisa, a sachar can just walk away without penalty? Atani Baba Braisa, which indicates that even a sachar can't do that without penalty. Hasechar sapoil, you hire him as a laborer. V'chatzi ayim, midday, shama shemesh lameis, v'shechso sechama, he hears about a relative that passed away, can't work, or he got a fever. Im sachar hu, if he's a sachar, meaning he's getting paid by the hour, by the day, does he get paid for the work done? Yeah, because it was an oinus, an accident, beyond his control. in Kabunu, if he's a contracted worker, that's in Kabunu, so you give him, you know, you're paying for his for the part that he did. But that's only because it was an oinus. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so generous. Money. Now, who's speaking in this price? Ilim Rabban is the Rabbanon. Why do we need an oinus? My area shama shemis lemeis. Why is this specific to a case where it's an accident? Even without the anus factor, don't the Rabbanon say Yad Peil al Yon, he has the upper hand? So it can't be the Rabbanon speaking. Must be Rav Deisa speaking. And we're speaking even by a Sochir, right? Brisa covers both cases. And still, the only way to be absolved is because it was an oinus. Even a socher can't just walk away without penalty. Clearly, Rav Deisa does not make that distinction. Amar Rachman Ritzuk, no, maybe he does. Maybe even Rav Deisa would agree that by a socher, he could just walk away. There's Brisa speaking about an exceptional case. Davar Ovid is something critical. You can't just walk away. The pishtan is sitting in the soaking pool, whatever, dropping the job midway would cost the employer immense loss. So here, all agree you can't just walk away without an oinus. That's a good reason. Okay, now, Tanan, let's go back to our Mishnah. Kol ha-mishana yoda al-tachtoina. Mishnah concludes with two formulas. If you switch, you were asked to, to dye something red, you did it black, then you're going to pay for it. You're going to have the yoda al-tachtoina, you're going to have disadvantage. And then the Mishnah concludes with another point. The same thing if a person backs away from a deal. Now, why is the Mishnah repeating this? I mean, the Mishnah already discussed cases where workers backed away and quit. So, we understand the first part. That's the famous halacha with the red and the black, dye. The sasam latanakar, the tana here is following Rabbi Yehuda. Stam Mishnah, anonymous Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, that take a look at the expenses involved and the benefit that he caused, the increase in value on the material, and whatever is the lesser amount the fellow will get. Okay, that's one halacha. I'll discuss later on the Vayin Ches. Okay, what about the second part of the conclusion of the Mishnah? Whoever changes his mind, backs away from a deal, he loses. What's that covering? What case is that covering? The Mishnah already discussed contracted workers, right? So Omanin is a contractor, is a kaplan. Apparently we're trying to cover Sachar as well, a laborer. Apparently we're covering even a poil, a Sachar, like Rab Doisa, you back off, you pay the repercussions. So clearly Rab Doisa will not make any distinctions. So back to the Kasha. Rab says, we adopt Rab Doisa. Then Rab himself says, well, a worker can just have the full license to walk away. Sounds like without penalty. How do these two things, work with each other? Ella, you're right. Rav Deis himself, Tartikam, himself applies his idea to both, to Sachar and Kavlan, without distinction. Walk away without penalty. But Varav selectively picked Savalik or Gazei Bechada in one aspect. He held like Rav Deis, which is by the Sachar, Upalagli Bechada. But by the Kavlan, he disagreed. Rabbi Deisa held that a worker has no right to just back away. I mean, he can do it, but he has to pay the consequences. Rab says no. If he's a sacher, yeah, because then there's a concern about looking like a slave. But by a kavla, there's no such concern. And if he walks away, if he walks off the job, he's penalized. If he caused a loss. Iboy is him. Another pshat can be no. That even Rav Deisa would agree that by a worker, a payala, a sacher, he can walk off without penalty. What then does the Mishnah mean? Kol achoizer boy, whoever backs out, yoda atachton, he loses. Look at the sanya, it's not going on a worker, it's going on a fellow who purchased a property. Kol achoizer boy, keitzad, what case that we're speaking about. Reuven sold a piece of property for $1,000. Shimon paid a down payment of $200. And now somebody backed out of the deal. Bizman Shah Moichar Khaizib, seller Reuven backed out. Yad Lekech al Tahalyaina. So Shimon has the upper hand, which means Ratza Aymalitanli Ma'isa. He can choose to ask for his money back. Oitanli Karka Kanakh Ma'isa, you can ask and demand a sliver of property as per his payment. Mechan Nakbeil, what quality property will Reuven give Shimon? Mina Idis, from his best properties. And soon the world will ask on that. I mean, he sold him this property. Why is he giving him from the best? We'll see in a minute. Wazman, that's when the Meicher backs out. Wazman Shalakeach HaYizabayif, the buyer backs out midway. So then it switches. Yat Meicher Al Yene, so the seller has the upper hand. Ratzah Emerle Helech Ma'isech, either you can offer him his money back, or Ratzah Emerle Helech Karka Kenegh Ma'isech, I give him a piece of property corresponding to the value of that down payment. Meicher Magbe, what quality property will give him? And Azibur is the worst of the worst. Okay. Rav Shimon Leil Aymer, Melamdin Oysan Shalayachsr. We educate them. We try to arrange that they don't come to this point of backing out. Basically, we educate a buyer. We tell him like this: look, I know you only have partial payment, but you can do it in a way which will bind both sides. Kate and how? Kosevloy, he pays him the $200 down payment, but listen to this: a seller will write a shtar, ani plenty ben plenty, right? Myself, Reuven Meshimon, mecharati yisod plenis l'plenty, I sold my field to Levi ben Yehud, Belov Zuz, for $1,000. V'nos l'mehem osayim Zuz, and he paid me $200. And v'ari ninoi sheboi chesmi Zuz. And I have an $800 claim on him, meaning it's like I lent him $800. So Rashi says, since he turned it into a milvah, it's as though the money was paid to Reuven and relent to Shimon. So the property was fully paid for. I relent that money back to Shimon. He owes it to me as a loan. The sale is over. Now it's just an outstanding loan. Kana. So Shimon acquires the entire field. All the rest, the balance, whenever he pays it, even years later, it's a loan repayment. Okay. Amar. Let's go back to that initial halacha. So sold in the field, down payment $200, and the seller backs out. Meichan Makbeil. He has to give him, a piece of property. What quality property? Now, it is from his best. Now, Kasaka Daitach, we figure at this point, it is the Nechas. He looks around and gives him the best of his properties. What do you mean? Why? Why is a seller responsible to that extent? You know, at worst, at most, he owes him money, right? He owes him back his down payment. At most, he's like a Baal Chayv. He owes money. But Tanan, the halacha is, you give medium quality. Baal Chayv didn't have a Beinoinis. Why is he giving the best? Void, another question. Here's the land that you paid for. I mean, you gave me money for this property. Give him a piece of this property. Why do you have to give him better property? Amar Ibn Achmar Yitzchak, you're right. That's not what I meant. Me'idas Sheba. Of course, it's a sliver of this property. It's $200 worth of this property, but which corner? The best corner. We penalize the seller for backing out. He has to give him the best corner. Umizibur Sheba. Alternatively, if the buyer backs out, I said the seller has the option of giving him a piece of property as per his payment. He gives him the worst corner because we penalize the buyer for backing out. Let's go back to the other pshat. The buyer backs out. He has to go find his best piece of property and give it to him. Why? Why the best? Look, stam mandazov an ara. Typically, when a person makes this large purchase, for $1,000, that's a huge purchase. He's going to sell off his belongings, small properties, maybe at a loss, to finance that mega purchase. He'll go down and take a cut when he sells the other properties. And now the seller backs out, you're causing me a loss. It's like he's a victim of a nizak. He was harmed. With Tanana, we learned hanizakin. A person who is a victim of nizak, he's entitled to collect from the best of the mazik's properties. Shavon Pietis. Rabbi Shimon Leimer, well, we have a more simple system. We don't have to worry about backing out. Initially, they should articulate that it's just an outstanding loan. Field was sold, paid in full. It's not standing alone. Malamdun oisam shalayachsur ketzav kaiselani plenum plenum. Time of the kosovli. It only works because they arranged it in writing. The kosovli hachi. Holy kosov hachi. But if they didn't actually articulate this, he just gave a down payment without articulating the rest is turning into a loan. Loikoni, he doesn't get ownership of the entire field. Really? Vatanya. Listen to this brisa, which brings Rabbi Nishim Lil himself, which indicates who indicates otherwise. Who indicates that you have a kinyan on the entire field, even by way of a partial down payment. So Shimon is buying a field worth 1,000. He deposits 200 as an eruvin, as a collateral, like this. But he tells Reuben, look, if I back out, you keep the $200, a gift. Self-penalty. And Reuben responds likewise, look, if I back out, I'm going to double that down payment. I'll give you $400. This condition is binding. So the conditions are fully binding. Even though it's an exaggerated commitment, Rabbi Yisrael Tamei, he follows his opinion. The Omar Asmachta Kani, Asmachta means a sort of exaggerated commitment to assure and to substantiate his words and his commitment. It works. Rabbi Doimer, no. It's an exaggerated thing. Daya Yishikna Kenegad Ravoini, at most, he'll get $200 worth of that field. He doesn't get the entire field. It is what it is. We don't exaggerate. Omar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, when do we say that they could even back out? The concept of backing out is only Bizman Shamala Irvoini Yikun. That's only because when he gave him the $200, he says, you know, I want this to acquire the entire field, which obviously doesn't work because he's not selling him a $1,000 field for $200. So the sale has not yet gone through. Aval Mocharloi Sodin. But suppose he sold him $1,000 field, but he gave him $500 as partial payment. He didn't say this is going to acquire the entire field. I'm still buying it for $1,000, but here's partial payment, right? The down payment. So this $500 is like kesef, which is a kinya for the entire field. He gets the whole thing, and the rest he owes him. It's a loan. I feel like it takes some years to pay it up. And this is even without stipulating, even without articulating it. So why earlier did Rabbi Shimon say, unless you write it out, unless you stipulate it, it doesn't work? Says the Gemara, right? So initially he says that you can be chayzer unless you clearly articulate that you're doing it in this manner. It's a full kinyan, just the rest is alone. And here he says, it's a default assumption, it's assumed. You pay partially, it's a kinyan on everything, and the rest is just alone. You can't be chayzer. So the Gemara, the Kasha answers like this. Depends. The earlier halacha was speaking where the seller is coming in and out. He's banging on the buyer's door. I need my money. Clearly indicating that his motivation, his interest was to make this money. He was desperate for money. So until he gets his money, his full payment, he's not interested in selling the field. So it's not a sale. So just back out. Whereas the most recent case is speaking that the seller is not harassing the buyer for his money. So apparently, that wasn't really his motivating factor, and therefore he says, look, I'll get my money whenever. In the meantime, it's sold. The Umber of Azrava tells us the same idea. Haiman the Zavit Midl Chavre, a person sells something to his friend, and he's running after him for the payment. So even if the other fellow made a kinyan meshicha, it's not his until he pays. The seller is not after his buyer for his money. Then kani, once the buyer makes a meshicha, physical acquisition, he's kani even before actually paying. V'amar Rav, here comes another halacha from Rav. Haiman the oisvei meyazuz l'chavei, a person lends his friend 100 zuz at once, which allows him to make a proper investment, right? He has a lot of money now. Upari zuzazuz, and the fellow decides to pay him back, you know, a zuz at a time, penny at a time. That's not nice. Peror and Havi, of course, he fulfilled his obligations. He paid up his loan, but El the Isla Tarim is Gabe. The lender could be very unhappy with him. You know why? The Amalek can tell him, Afsidisinu Minoy, you're causing me loss. I'm going to lose these pennies. Also, you know, How much could it do? What could it do with $1, $2, $3 at a time? I mean, I gave it to you lump sum. I expect a back lump sum, which gives me access to all kinds of deals. Ha'ugava, there's another story of a fellow, Zavon Lecham El Chaveri, sold his friend. He sold a donkey to his friend. Pashtei Chatzuzah. He got paid minus $1. I have enough of Gazuzah, and he's running after him for that balance. You also Rav Asher come Ayim, but Rav Asher was sitting examining the case. Kai Gavna Mai, what would you say in this case? Kani or like Kani? I mean, he paid him everything minus a Zuz. Is that going to hold back the deal or not? Amali Rav Motch Rav Asher, of course. Hachi Am Avimim Magrunish, quoted Rav, prayed Rav, whether you still owe him $1 or $1 million. Fact is, he wants his money. Until that happens, he's not kind of Zuzah. One coin, because Zuzah is like many. Well, like Kani, there's no Kini until you pay it up. Amali Rav, Achabed Rav Yisrav Asher. Didn't we quote Rava who says Kani, that if he's just, you know, $1 left, of course he's Kaina. How does that fit with what you're saying, that every penny holds it up? Amalei says to Tag Shmaitzach, your halacha can be applied in a special case. But Meicher Sadeh, a person selling his field because it's bad, because of its inferior estate. See here, as Rashi explains, we all know he's not just motivated by his money. He wants to get rid of the field. He would have sold it even without getting paid right away. He doesn't want the buyer to back away and regret the sale, the purchase. So here, even if he hasn't paid at all, says Tesis, as soon as the buyer makes a kinyan, it's his. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We spoke about hiring workers and something happened midway. Who's responsible, depending on the circumstance, if he had advance notice and he should have informed them or not. We had the machlekes in Rabbanan and Rabbi Deisa regarding a poel, whether we say yad poel al tachtoina, yad poel al yoina. We wanted to make a chilek between schiras and kablonis. Then we had a whole new discussion regarding a meicher and a lekeach. If somebody backs out of a deal, how to deal with that, and we concluded with the aloch of a seller looking after his money and whether that holds back the deal. All the best to you, and hatzlacha rabba.